This audio production is presented by Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Ocala, Florida. For more resources, visit us online at gspcocala.com.
This morning, we will be hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27. This is God's Word. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path.
Thank you, Kyle, and thank you, Josh, for jumping up there. Would you all bow your heads and pray with me, please? Most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, I come now, open your word to us. Move in our hearts. Remind us of the joy of our first love. Show us the freedom we have in Christ. And show us what it is to live and love in that freedom. God, I ask that you would use me, that you would speak to all of us in this room now, that we might hear you, that we might be transformed by your speaking, that we might find life in your word. In Christ's name, amen. If you're visiting with us, we've been going through 1 Corinthians for a while, and we'll make our way closer and closer to Advent. We should be done with 1 Corinthians a little bit before we get to Advent time. But particularly, if you haven't been here in the past couple of weeks, we've been going through a portion of 1 Corinthians that's really focused on freedom, on Christian freedom, on what it means to be free and to have the liberty of a Christian. And so as we're working through that, and we've got at least one or two more Sundays where we'll be looking at that, we come to this passage. And this passage doesn't often sound like the place you would go to talk about Christian freedom. It sounds more like where you'd go to talk about evangelism. Talk about how you can adapt to different evangelistic settings. It feels more like the kind of place where you would begin to address the questions of what can I do, right? Is it okay to have drums in church? I hope so. Is it okay? Should a preacher wear a tie or wear flannel, right? Which one is the right way to do it? Can I go drink beer with my non-Christian friends? If it's light beer, does that matter, right? Questions like that. Can I get a tattoo? And if so, can it be visible? Or do I have to say something about Jesus, right? You have all these kinds of questions that you want to go after. When we hear the language of all things to all people, we begin to ask those kind of questions of, so what am I allowed to do? How can I go and change things so that I can reach those who don't know Jesus? And I want to point you to that conversation fits firmly in this context of the question of what it means to be free in Christ. and how that informs our decisions about being all things to all people, particularly what is freedom in Christ for? What does it mean that we're free from, what we're free to, what we're free to do? What Paul begins to say over and over again in this passage is that we are free from all. We are free to all, and we're free for all. We are free in all ways. He starts there in verse 19 simply by saying, though I am free from all. Now again, in this whole context, he's been talking about their first question of, can you eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols? And in fact, they didn't even seem to pose it as a question. It seems as though the Corinthian church said, look, Paul, we know that we're free to eat whatever we want, so you don't need to teach us on that. And he comes back and says, actually, it seems like I need to teach you a good bit about that. Because you're using your freedom to the detriment, to the, as he says, destruction of your brothers and sisters. You are exercising your freedom in such a way that is destroying the faith of those around you. And so you need a lesson more in what freedom is, what true freedom in Christ is. So we prayed for teachers this morning. Raise your hand if you go back to school this week. Yeah, it's like all the passion just, whoo, yeah, right? School starts, and in our world, in our little culture, in our little community here, the beginning of school is a transition season for everybody, right? If you go to work at a normal time, it's about to change this week. I go through about 4 school zones to get here every day. It changes my world when school starts back, whether I've got kids in school or not, right? The transition of that, and what happens, in my opinion, in transition seasons is it becomes hunting season, if you will. It's hunting season for the verdict. It's once again a way for us to be looking for the verdict on who we are. For some of you, this is going to take a long time, but if you remember back to walking into the school on the first day of school, some of you are going to do that this week and you're terrified about it, or you're excited about it, right? Maybe you've got new shoes and you can't wait to show your new clean shoes off, or you've got all your pencils properly sharpened and they're all yellow number 2 pencils and it makes everything right. You want to show the teacher that you're a rule follower, you're good, right? Or you can't wait to show the teacher they can't tell you what to do, right? Somehow you're going in, and the opening of that door and walking into the hallway is a chance to find out, what's the verdict on me, right? Who will say hi to me? Where will I sit, right? Will I be accepted or will I be rejected? Am I good enough? And of course, that's just a little microcosm of school, but it blows out all throughout the walls of that, though, so that when parents drive through Carline, it is a question of value, a question of, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I what I'm supposed to be, right? Is my car too dirty? My car too clean? Do I have the right bumper stickers on, right? Did that parent do that? Does that mean I'm supposed to do that, right? Or you're driving past it and thinking, why do these people park their cars in the middle of the road? This shouldn't be a school zone. I should be able to go faster here. And you think, I'm better because I don't have to do that. Or you think, I'm worse because I don't get to do that. Or you think, that's right, my grandkids go over there, that makes me better. And it just is one more place where we have all, are you with me? Anybody feeling any of this? All right, how am I going to answer that question today? And that's just a microcosm of how our hearts are at work all the time, wondering, am I enough? Am I approved? Am I actually valuable? And Paul is offering to the Corinthian church here that that's not the question they have to worry about anymore. See, the Corinthian church has been talking about all along. They live on this scale that says, if I attain, if I'm enough, if I'm smart enough, if I know the right people, if I've attained the right stuff, if I've reached the right level of spirituality, then I'm something. And in the church in Corinth and in the city of Corinth, that was the way it operated. You had to attain to be worthy of anything. And the further you got, the more worthy you were. And Paul has been writing all along to say, that is not the gospel. That is not how God's church works. It does not work on a scale of who is the most, the best, or anything like that. But instead, we are drawn into his weakness, to his love of us. And he says, in the gospel, the verdict is already in. Instead of asking that question of, am I enough? Am I good enough? Do I attain enough? Have I gained the approval enough? Paul says, no. I am free from all of that. He says, I'm free from all judges, all opinions. Why? Because one, the gospel comes to me and says that I was originally made in God's image, and that makes me worthy. Before I've done anything, before I've accomplished or failed at anything, I'm worthy. But also the gospel tells me that I have fallen, that I have sinned, that I am actually dead. I took that worthiness and I rejected God, and I tried to find other ways where I could say I'm worthy. I tried to find other ways that I can show that I'm enough outside of what God says. And in that, I have found death. I have found enslavement to trying to constantly find the verdict, constantly seek the approval somewhere else. But then Christ came. And Christ gave up his freedom and took on our enslavement and took on our punishment, took on the death that we deserved, and gives us the approval, the righteousness, the justice, the justification that we did not earn, that was his. He gives to us, and we get to now live in that freedom that the verdict is in. It is final. You in Christ are set free from that. So that if you are in Jesus, you with Paul can say, I am free from all. No man is master of me. I can walk into any room and no one can have an opinion about me that overranks, overrules, or overwhelms what God says about me, that I am holy, that I am just, that I am approved, that I am adopted, that I am sanctified, that I am loved, that I am chosen, and so much more. And he says, because of that truth, I'm free, so that no judge, no verdict that anyone else can give can hold me down, can say anything other than what God says. Now, this is where it gets fun, because he says that freedom from all judgment, that freedom from all opinions but Christ, what does it give me the freedom to do? He says, though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. He says, I'm free from all, but I am going to go, and in that freedom, I am freely going to set myself as a servant to all. Only mastered by Christ. No other gets to master me, but I will serve them. Why? That I might win some. That I might win more of them. Paul says, my freedom is a freedom I get to exercise so that I might win others to Jesus. So that the irony of our freedom is our freedom gives us the power to put ourselves under anything for the sake of winning others. So we're free from all things, but we're also free to put ourselves, again, as servants of all, to win more. When we talk about evangelism, right? For some of you, if you've been a part of the church for a while, for some of you, evangelism is a bad word. It's like, either it's, I'm really bad at that, or I don't like that. I've had people try and do that, and it's really annoying. There's those other people that call themselves churches that really aren't, that knock on my door all the time and try and make me do stuff, and I hate it when they do that. I don't want us to be a part of a group that does that, right? Well, what do I say? Some of you, it's just the idea of evangelism is simple insecurity of, I don't know what to tell them. I want them to love Jesus, and I don't know how to make them do that, right? What Paul is getting after here is the freedom we have, that freedom of being set free from the verdict, is a freedom that allows us to move in and begin to share that freedom with others, to begin to offer that to others, to begin to show them their need of salvation and Christ's offer of salvation. And so he goes and he says, to the Jews, I became a Jew, as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Some of us are stuck on the fact that we feel like it would be offensive to tell somebody else that they need salvation. And I want you to hear, Paul is dead committed. The only reason he is willing to change who he is and adapt to other people's circumstances is not to be accepted. It's not to not offend. It is to win them, to show them that they are in death and to show them the way out of death. And so he goes and he says to the Jew, I became as a Jew. Now, which that wasn't all that hard for him, right? Ethnically, that's where he was. But he clarifies it a bit when he says, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law. Right? We saw Paul do this in Acts 21. Where he goes to Jerusalem. And the brothers there in Jerusalem say, Paul, everybody's heard about you. And they hear that as you go around all these Gentile cities, you have just totally forgotten everything about the Jewish faith. And you are just trashing us everywhere. And Paul goes and says, I don't want to trash people. So what does he do? He actually goes and does a purification ritual at the temple. Because he's free to do that. There is nothing against God's law and his freedom in Jesus that he can't do that. So he goes and he does things that are strictly and only Jewish. Why? Because he can. And if he does, he might be able to win some Jews who do not trust in Christ. And so he says, of course I'll do that. I will sit down and eat a meal that is completely ceremonial proper because I can. At the same time, I know that I'm free to eat other things. But my freedom to do that, I will set aside so that I can spend time and perhaps win you who think you are enslaved to this law. He says to those outside of the law, he became as one outside of the law. That doesn't mean that Paul, you know, just said, forget all rules, right? He says, I'm under the law of Christ. It means I came and I cared for those who were not burdened by the laws of Moses, but instead were under other laws. He talks about it in chapter 10. If you just flip over to verse 27 of chapter 10, you hear this in Paul. He says, if one of the unbelievers invites you to a dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. What does he say? He says, if you're invited into a non-believer's house and they offer you something that is not contrary to the freedom you have in Christ, join in. Don't bring it up. Why? To win them. Not so that you don't have to have an argument about it. Not so that you can just, you know, feel all right, but so that you might win their hearts with the gospel. He says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. We have more examples of what this is not than we do what it is. But over and over, Paul talks about how the strong treat the weak and how the weak respond to the strong. And over again, he has to clarify. That person who comes in and says, don't do that. That's against my rules. You can't do that. That's offensive when you do that. Right? In Galatia, Paul is living with the Gentile Christians and then the Judaizers, those who try and impose Jewish law on Christians, come in and they say, Paul, you can't eat with them. You're don't do that. That's wrong. And Paul does not look at them and say, oh, I am so sorry. I will be weak to you. Paul looks at them and says, no, that's not the gospel. Get out of here. But to those who are hindered, those unbelievers who are hindered by their understanding of what Paul is supposed to do. Right? In our culture, it looks like this. You have non-believing friends who have an image of what a Christian does and doesn't do. And what Paul says is, I am willing to sit down with them and abide by a standard that won't hurt them knowing Jesus. instead of having to use my freedom so that I can say, oh, come on, it doesn't matter. Instead, I'm willing to submit to their weakness. Why? So that I might win them. The picture, the image is Paul saying, I am willing because I am free. Because I am free from all verdict, all of that, I am willing to submit myself to the slavery that you're under so that I can show you how to get out of it. Not so that I can make things easy for me, not so I don't offend you, but in my freedom, I am so free, I don't have to exercise it. Instead, I can take on the ways in which you are enslaved if they're not contrary to grace. And I can set you free. I can show you the way to freedom. He is inviting us to see and use our freedom in such a way that it invites other captives into freedom, but doesn't simply stand there in our freedom, but rushes back into the enslavement and invites others out of it. And he does that so that he might win them. Verse 24, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? Corinth, as we've said before, was no stranger to athletics. Other than the big Olympic Games, they held the biggest games in the Roman world. And they loved athletics. Not that I've ever been there and watched it happen. This is just what you read and find out. Right? And so Paul is stooping to his congregation when he does this. He's saying, let me give you an athletic analogy. Right? Now, I want to point out something. This is an illustration. God is not approving of running. God hates running. Don't do it. Okay? Only an illustration. You can lift weights, right? You can do a little biking. Running is wicked. Okay? I'm glad you got that. I was joking, even though I think it's true. He's stooping down to them to help them see, right? You watch athletes train and fight. Why? Why do they work so hard? It's because there's a prize in front of them. What's the prize that Paul is talking about here? His salvation is secure. It's not his salvation. Their salvation will be won by Christ. Notice what he said back in verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Why? That I might share with them in the blessing. His prize is to find somebody who doesn't have freedom in Christ, to come to them, to take on whatever burdens they're under in such a way that he can live freely with them and say, let's go. Let me show you the freedom that you have in Christ. And to draw them out so that they might share in that blessing. He says, for that I will run. He says, run that you may obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we and an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. Do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body. You hear what he's saying? Discipline, self-control. What he is, again, he's not just talking about evangelistic tactics. He's saying, you are free. Because Christ died, the verdict is in. There is no rule over you other than his righteousness given to you. And in that freedom that you cannot condemn yourself anymore, there is no condemnation for you because of Christ. In that, do not allow your freedom to get in the way of others finding it, but instead, discipline, self-control. Don't get so obsessed with what you can do. Instead, set it aside so that you might win others to share in that goodness of the gospel. He says, don't be afraid to restrict your freedom, that you might find those who are enslaved and draw them out of it, win them out of it. Now, the temptation is to hear that and think, that's right, I'll go do that and Jesus will love me. which would be just going right back and flipping it all upside down and changing everything. But instead, what Paul is inviting you to do is to see that is how you were won. You were won because Christ set aside all of his freedom that was rightfully his, all glory that was rightfully his, and took on our enslavement. He set aside what was rightly his so that he could come find you where you were and to take your place, to step into your sickness, to step into your slavery, to step into your death, and to grant you freedom there. And what he's longing to do, what Paul is longing to do, is to give you that picture so that your heart is so full with the freedom of what he has given you that you long to run back and to rescue them, to run back and save them from that. Can I give you a running illustration? It's the most Christian running illustration ever. Chariots of Fire. Right? You know the story? If you don't, it's a boring movie. Enjoy it. It's a great movie. It just was made as long ago as I was born, and so it's slower than most movies, kids. Right? I'm talking to the kids. Older people, yeah, I know you've seen it. It's great. In the story, what's his name again?
Eric Little.
Eric Little. He's going to run in the Olympics, and he has to run on a Sunday, and so he says, I'm not going to run. And instead, he gets switched to a longer race, right? He's got to run the 400. And he runs the 400, and the first 200 meters of the 400, he runs 1 second off the world record time for a 200 meter. And they ask him, said, Eric, what were you thinking? And he said, well, I knew I was going to run the first half as hard as I possibly could. And with the second, I was going to run even harder. And he ran and he won. And the invitation that he says is that not that I run this race so that I win the prize, but he was running so that God would see the prize, so that God would get the glory, and that he would then go and take his life, and only months later go and begin living as a missionary, taking the gospel out to the world, where he would die as a missionary in a prisoner of war camp. Because he was committed to running that race, not for his glory, but taking the freedom that he had, so that others might know God's glory and God's goodness. That's the invitation, to see that freedom, to see that joy. If you've seen the movie again, Eric Little, as he's running, his head is back, and he is just all out enjoying it, which, again, I think is nuts. And your friends will think you're nuts, too. When you freely say, I will take on anything, so that you would know the freedom of Christ. And I'll throw my head back and I'll smile and I will do the most ridiculous thing on the world. I will give up freedom so that you could have it. That's the gospel. That's the joy of it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we trust in the power of Holy Spirit to take your word, apply it to our hearts, and transform us into your image. God, would you teach each and every one of us more and more to exercise the gospel, to live in it, to remember the freedom we have, and to share it with others. In Christ's name, amen.